Let's pray.
Dear Lord, we just pray as we read your word, Lord, that you help us gain understanding. Lord, gain just a practical application, Lord, something that we can live out as a testament, Lord, something that we can just add to our life as salt to our life, Lord, but as salt to the world as well, Lord. We pray that this will encourage us, Lord. We pray that it will strengthen us, that will just help us learn more about who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, exciting tonight. We'll finish up chapter 16, and then next week, Mr. Philip will be continuing in Acts, starting with chapter 17. So that'll be exciting right there. So excited for him to teach. It'll be fun. Now, last week, we've been reading about Paul and his missionary journey now, or his journey to encourage. The last week we met, they had traveled to Macedonia into Philippi. Okay, they shared a gospel. In particular, her name was Lydia, and spread the gospel there, and her entire household was saved. And then we ended last week with Paul and Silas being thrown into prison when they had exorcised a demon. Okay, I keep saying last week, but it was kind of last week. We had skipped a week. Week light savings time. So this week we will continue along the same storyline, or the same area. Is Paul and Silas had just been thrown in prison, and they are now, we'll see how they witness throughout that. And to kind of relate it, as I was praying about it, what I was just led to or impressed upon me was just having a rough day, you know? And my thought was, have you ever had one of those days? And I know everybody, I know because I've talked to you guys, so everybody in here has had one of those days, and the Beatles coined it, a hard day's night. All right, a day that lasted so long it kept going into the night and it didn't stop. You know, where it's a struggle to get through. You feel like everything you do, you're as clumsy as you can be. You feel like you put your shoes on the wrong feet, that there's a fog around you everywhere you go. The mess keeps coming. If you're wondering which day this usually is, it usually falls on a Monday. The boss has something for you when you walk in the office and when you walk out of the office. It's just non-stop. You didn't sleep the night before. You're stuck in traffic both ways. You're looking forward to getting home. Just want to get home. But when you get there, it's not stopping there. The families apparently had the same day you have. The wife or husband's just as eager to have you home and help and jump in to the fight. Help out with the rest of the chores. You pray with the kids. You only disagreed twice, once about how clothes should be folded or hung, or if how the dishes should be done, either washed or not washed before in a dishwasher. I mean, it's a dishwasher. I'm just just throwing that out there. So just before you climb in bed, you praise God that you've made it through the day, and you prayerfully fall asleep somewhere around midnight, and you pray the next day you'll be more prepared spiritually. All right? So these kind of days are the kind of days that Paul and Silas would have found easy, especially this time. Now, Paul and his crew had been preaching the gospel, doing the work of the Lord had led them to do. They didn't plan on exorcising demons. But the boss had come up with like an unassigned task. So this was their metaphorical Monday. They kept striving to continue to witness the gospel. It's what they were doing, right? This lady in the last chapter had followed them around and in essence distracted the disciples. So they were just trying to make it through the day, and they ended up being thrown in prison and had their clothes torn off and lashed. So Paul exercises the demon as his heavenly boss had commanded him to, and they are not rewarded We see Paul, we see that they were beaten, right? Thrown in prison. Now, this should put our hard days and nights into perspective for sure. So we pick up this week with the rest of the story. In particular, when after a long day for us, we would be climbing into bed, we see here, starting in verse 25, that Paul and Silas were praying and singing praise to the Lord. So just some things to think about as we go through this. How do we respond when we face these days? Do we look for the Lord's will to be done in what we see as chaos? As to us, we are not all-knowing creatures. We are not everlasting. Right now, we've not always been, okay? We will take on that everlasting body, but we've not been ever-present. His will may seem confusing to us. That doesn't mean that it's not His will. So knowing that He is God of order, doesn't mean we can comprehend it or everything that He has in mind or set in motion. So the overview this week, Paul and Silas are put in prison. We see how they respond and continue to glorify God, though they don't understand or may not have understood what their purpose was being in prison. We see that God sends an earthquake, unshackles some prisoners, swings some doors open, makes it apparent that this was no mere earthquake, okay? That this was a work of God. The prison guards and his household, we'll see, just like Lydia and her household were came to know Christ, they are also all baptized. Paul and Silas were asked to depart in secret at the very end by the magistrate. They refuse, and we'll go into why I believe that it was important that they refused. And then, at the very end, they go back to Lydia's house and encourage the brethren before they leave. Okay? So let's start reading. We're going to read 25 through 34 first, starting in Acts 16:25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas, this is after they were thrown in prison, were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believing in God with all his household. So, that's probably not the way they saw that turning out. That's probably the opposite of what they saw, how they saw that night going. So, pretty amazing stuff. So, do we continue to praise and sing hymns in our hard days night? Or do we think that just because we're not in a prison, or we're not out on a battlefield in Sudan, or in Syria, or Iran, being persecuted in a very open way, that same spiritual battle is not going on. But it is going on every day. And how we respond personally to each of those small tests that we are given are just as important to how the disciples were responding in this large test here. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. It always reminds me, like, even when you're alone and you're preparing your message, or you're praying, or you're doing whatever, watching TV, playing video games, whatever you do in your free time, that the Lord's there. So great a cloud of witnesses is there in everything you do, watching for your witness and how you live, how you interact, how you portray Christ in your daily life, even though it may seem like a silly thing, and how you get frustrated in traffic, or we had talked about that, use that as an example one time, or how you get frustrated coworkers at work. But there is no menial thing, in the same sense that there is no menial thing to pray about and bring before God, there is no menial task He sets before you to do for Him. There's no task that is so low He would never ask you to do it. Because we are his servant. We are to serve Him. So we see here that Paul was already at terms with this. All right? And that if the gospel was going to cost him his life, he was all right with it. And so was Silas. They were all right with it. They were having a great time, apparently. They were enjoying themselves because they knew the Lord had it handled. And I pray that we all have that much faith when faced with the same adversity. And this wasn't like a small adversity. They were beaten, their clothes were torn, and they were thrown into the inner prison. And it wasn't like American prison where you get cable and 5 lunches a day and, you know, 20,000 encyclopedias to read and internet. All right, it was like a prison that we would like put. They would have on those TV shows, like World's Worst Prisons. You know, you may never escape. You know what I'm saying? Like that would be the kind of prison that we would that would come to mind here. You know, you would be lost in this dungeon for all eternity. But praise God, He had a plan. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:9, Paul references how he felt about the apostles' role. He says, "For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both angels and to men." So I bring up those two pieces of Scripture because first, yeah, Paul acknowledges that the apostles had a special role to play. And yeah, they were going to be put on display for everybody. Not just for men, but for angels, for as a testament to what Christ had done here. But we are also, as disciples and believers, on display, okay? And it's not just for the apostles to do, though there is that recognition that, yeah, the apostles had their role to play. We also have ours to play. So it is in these hard times for us when sin likes to work its way. And anger and hate and distrust, these are the seeds of evil that penetrate. That once we allow ourselves to focus on it, it takes all focus off of the Lord. You guys are going to like this next example. The enemy is attempting to get your attention, to draw your attention off of God. In a similar manner, when you are conversing with somebody and someone else interrupts you. I'm just going to say it's probably me. I'm pretty bad at interrupting people. So it's just, I get excited, I want to talk to you, it doesn't seem rude to me, so I apologize in advance, and for past occurrences to everybody here. So they say your name, if you don't respond, they say it louder. They come stand next to you, right? You get the idea? If not, just wait till after service, I'll come do it to you. In a similar manner, Satan is attempting to interrupt that conversation, that spiritual conversation you are having with God, to draw your attention away from the focus you have on Him and with the evil He is spewing, and trying to have you meditate on those things, anything other than God. All right? Let's continue reading let's break down Acts 26 through 28. So 26 through 28, the Lord displays His power. Paul and Silas demonstrate obedience. So 26 through 28 is where that great earthquake was happened. And not just the earthquake, but the doors were opened and all the prisoners' shackles were loosened. All the prisoners. And then later on, we find out that all the prisoners were in there, which is really cool. So not only was there an earthquake, right, which they could have said, no, it's coincidental. We know that that Hebrew God was here, but we're not really sure if that was him, or, I mean, that big mountain over there, it kind of shakes sometimes. I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure if there's mountains over there either. So just to throw that out there, where they were. So Paul and Silas, they didn't run from the prison, which would have been anybody's first instinct when the prison doors were opened and your chains fell off. You're like, okay then, let's run. Let's see how fast we can go. We were just beaten and thrown in here. Let's see if we can get out of here as fast as we can. So this should give us some pause when we are testing or seeking. Should we go with the first thing that pops in our head, our very first instinct, right? The path that has seemed to reveal itself to Paul and Silas. Because if you think about putting yourself in Paul and Silas' shoes, they could have very easily been like, oh, this is, the Lord wants us to leave. He wants us to leave. But the Lord didn't want him to leave. As we see, the Lord had a plan for that prison guard, right? And Paul and Silas understood the repercussions, if they would have left, what that would have meant for the prison guard. So they didn't go, right? And we should evaluate if we should go down those seemingly revealed paths, or if we should pray and be like, Lord, it seems like you've opened these doors. It seems like you've laid these shackles down. Are you wanting me to go through these doors? Are you leading me through these doors? Or is there work here that I can do and bring everybody with me through these doors together, believing in you? So I thought that was really cool. They didn't jump at the first chance for a way out, for an end to what they had as a hard situation. They continued in faith to glorify God, and choosing the harder of the two paths, which was staying in that prison through the night, which they could have just left, right? But they stayed in the prison through the night, not just to prove a point, to make a stand, but because that was what the Lord had for them. The Lord was trying to reach out to this prison guard and his whole family, right? So that was really neat. Verses 29 through 34, the Lord has a plan, kind of what we were leading into. So the keeper of the prison and his household are baptized. So he has and had a salvation plan for the prison guard. And though Paul and Silas may not have known it at all, they had no idea what they were doing. God displays his sovereign power over all things and solidifies their witness and testimony and the gospel message they were preaching to the point that it broke a man and he could not deny who God was to him or his family. So, if we think back to when we came to Christ in our walk, we may not have been in prison, but surely the manner at which we came to realize God is who he said he is was very similar. So, thinking back to what great lengths he was willing to go through to reach a fallen sinner. Man. So all we did was what the prison guard does here. We come running and screaming, what do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to let Christ into my life? We see, just like in Lydia's household, that his witness carried over, right? His witness of believing and being baptized carried over to his household, and his entire household was baptized. We also see the prison guard cleansed and fed Paul in his own home. So, what a risk. At this point, he had given his life over, and no longer was he going to take it, but it was already given to Christ, right? All right, let's continue reading in Acts 35. Through 40, all right? And it reads, and when it was day, the magistrate sent the officers, saying, let those men go. So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison, and now they put us out secretly. No, indeed, let them come themselves and get us out. And the officer told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of from the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. So all kinds of stuff going on, right? Next day. So the magistrate recognizes that the earthquake was a sign from God. He may not have seen the doors open or the chains loosened, but he obviously recognizes where it came from, right? He was being convicted. He was, hey, we got to let those guys go. What we did wasn't right. There was a sign from God. Paul understands, which is cool. So Paul has a little bit of insight into the situation, given that spiritual insight. Understands why the magistrate has that change of heart, right? And I can. There's a couple reasons if you see that Paul would want to see the magistrate. Like he's not just being a jerk. Like, I don't want to leave. I'm a Roman citizen. That's not why he's doing it. Or I don't believe that's why he's doing it. Paul wanted to glorify God to the utmost. He didn't want to be like shhed out the back door, right? He didn't want to do it secretly. He intended on encouraging Lydia's household, and he didn't want to leave the city. He intended on encouraging the brethren. And then also, knowing the only reason they were being let out was that the magistrate had recognized the power of God, he wanted to witness to the magistrate. That's what I believe, that he really wanted to witness to that magistrate and try to bring him to Christ if that was a possibility. He wanted to have that opportunity to witness. So in the I was reading through it, and it just kind of like let me with this impression of, all right, so you've been beaten, you've been thrown in prison, you had the doors open, you didn't leave. Now magistrates or the officers are coming to you and they're telling you to leave. You're not leaving. Like, what are you doing? Like so basically he's leaving everything on the table. He's leaving it all on the field. If you were into sports, he's putting everything he has into the ministry every moment he is doing his ministry. And it's a great example. 1 Timothy 5:21, I'll read it to you. It says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. So being that he's just giving it his all the time, and even if it's going to kill him, and it looks like, you know, I mean, if we keep going down the road that he's on, that is a fantastic possibility. So the continuing in verses 38 and 40, it reads, so the magistrate frees Paul and Silas, and then the brethren are encouraged. So the magistrate that was so adamant and quick to throw them into the inner prison with beatings, a tearing of clothes, was now down at the prison pleading with them to leave the prison. So if a pretty kind of crazy night, you know, what started off is like, I'm just going to beat these guys and throw them into prison, is ending up for me begging them to leave the prison, please. Pretty please. Like, I don't want you to be here anymore. You're going to end up converting my entire prison. The circumstances, I'm sure, that if you had told Paul the previous day that was going to happen, he would have laughed. So they used this testimony, everything they had been through. Remember, Lydia and her household were just baptized. So imagine you brand new to Christ, and these people that had just been preaching Christ to you were like, hey, we're gonna go spread the gospel some more. We'll be back for dinner, but we'll be right back. And then you hear through the grapevine that those two guys were thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. You know what I'm saying? So it would have kind of shaken that faith a little bit, Lydia. So he heads back to Lydia's household and uses this testimony to encourage him. So keeping giving all glory to God, I'm sure. So the I think it was a necessary encouragement. And there is a you know, kind of pointing out, hey, people are going to persecute you. People are going to say that you don't have power, or God doesn't have power. Well, just remember, he's able to do all things. I mean, we were in prison last night, and we're here today, and encouraging you. And be faithful, the Lord will handle it all. So, in conclusion, when we have one of those days that seems like it's never going to end, those hard days and nights, the ones where everything goes wrong and we barely make it, know that you are still a valuable witness and to be honest, probably more valuable than when the days are easy. We don't know where the Lord's going to take us. We don't know what He's going to allow to come our way for His glory. But what we do know that He is faithful. And if we live our lives resigned to Him, meaning that He owns our very life, and we live every day of His as if it was our last, then we can glorify Him. And He will be faithful to empower us to do so. So usually I would just be done right now, but I was praying before we came in here, and since it's my last time teaching for a little while, I wanted to... So a common theme that we've seen Paul do throughout the every chapter that we've taught through so far is every time he goes somewhere and he's done and he's getting ready to move on, he encourages everybody before he leaves, right? So I just wanted to take this time to encourage you guys to say, Philip, I've learned a lot from your teachings in the men's study. And Robin, I've gleaned a lot on Sundays from you and our personal Bible studies. And Curtis, man, I've enjoyed the worship and learned a lot in Destiny. No, I'm just no, I've really enjoyed the worship, man. And it's been an awesome example in Monica and how to be a mom and a dad. And I think that's really important. And Joey, I appreciate the faithfulness. So I just wanted to take that time to encourage you guys. So I appreciate it. You guys have any questions or comments? Let's pray real quick and we'll move on. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. We thank You just for tonight, Lord. We pray, Lord, as we have tough days, Lord, we seek You, Lord, that we would always be examples, Lord, that we'd always be a witness, ready and just willing to lay our personal feelings and desires aside and just come to You. Lord, we pray that everyone sees You as they look at us. Lord, if they're seeking You, Lord, they know that they can come to us. Lord, we pray that You, in those times, You give us words of wisdom. Lord, that You give us the words to say and that those words are focused on You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.